You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can join us, you can call or text. It is the same number, and you can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream as well on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our next guest, it is our Go for the Green and Gold statewide text to win contest. Right now, until noon, using the Civic Media app, text in the word jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-R-Y, jewelry. Take your time.
Yeah.
I know this word has been used before. There are some spelling errors.
Trust spell check on your phone.
J-E-W-E-L-R-Y, jewelry is the word to text before noon. And then you could pick up either $100 cash or some lovely gold jewelry. Everyone's going to be in the running for a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the Green and Gold Monday, December 23rd in Green Bay against New Orleans. Text the word this hour, jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-R-Y. Your next word will come at 1 o'clock with Todd Alba and then at 4 p.m. with Dom Salvia. Right now, though, the word is jewelry. Text it in via the Civic Media app. All right, very excited to have our next guest join us. She is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy, Plans, and Capabilities with the Department of Defense. Dr. Mara Carlin is here. Good morning, Dr. Carlin. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Jane. I am so excited to be here.
Well, I understand you have a Wisconsin connection. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I grew up in Wisconsin. I went to Nicolet High in Milwaukee. Nice. A bunch of my family is still there. And when I land at the airport, the first thing I go do is to immediately get some custard at Cops.
So
Wisconsin is deep in my heart. I mean, I read the flavor forecast every month, as you can imagine.
As do we all. Well, tell us a little bit about your background with the Department of Defense and the kind of work that you did.
Yeah, absolutely. So I worked for three presidents and six secretaries of defense on and off over the last 20 years or so. So if you can think of something that happened in the world over the last 20 years or so, I probably touched it somehow from the Department of Defense.
That sounds really frightening.
I feel like anything I say, you're going to be like, I can't talk about it. All right.
No. Definitely not. But it's neat. So like in the last job that I had, I was working on thinking through how should we spend about $850 billion? What should the strategy be for the U.S. military? How do we understand the world? What are the conflicts that we're worried about? What are the opportunities ahead? You know, how do we make sure that tomorrow America is just as safe as it is now?
So much to cover.
Yeah.
Really, there's a lot to cover. I want to learn more, first of all, about National Security Action. This is the group who reached out and contacted us to get you on the show. Can you tell us the who makes up this group and what their motivation is?
Yeah, this is a group really dedicated to reminding folks about national security and foreign policy issues, effectively reminding folks that it's pretty relevant for this election that we have coming up.
We have talked to you. I'm assuming you're familiar with National Security Leaders for America.
Indeed. And they actually just put out a letter that you might have seen with
yes.
like nearly 1,000 folks. Yeah. I was honored to be one of those folks on it.
Yep. They came out endorsing Kamala Harris mm-hmm. for president. We have had a number of their members on over the last few months, and we have a couple more coming up that we're going to talk to right before the November election. But that's quite a statement and quite a show of support for the Harris campaign and quite an indictment of a second potential Trump administration and the dangers that could bring, right?
You're absolutely right, Jane. And what's interesting is it's not just who's signing these letters saying, we think the vice president knows exactly what's right in terms of being strong, being a serious commander in chief. What's also interesting is the contrast with the folks who are saying they don't want President Trump to come back. So you look at his secretaries of defense, for example, or his national security advisors. A lot of his top folks are saying, actually, he's pretty reckless, he's pretty impulsive, and this isn't a great idea.
Well, and the other thing that I, some of the things that I have seen when I'm reading different things about this, something that makes Donald Trump so particularly vulnerable to outside influencers is how easy he is to flatter.
And worrisome.
And manipulate. I mean, it doesn't seem to take much to gain his favor if you flatter him.
It's a great point, Jane. I'll also say what I find a little bit worrisome is how often he's changing his views. And I mean, you might recall a couple of years ago, he was threatening war via Twitter with North Korea. Yeah. And then he quickly backed down. I mean, that sort of impulsive behavior is pretty terrifying. And you can imagine if you're a partner of the United States, you're looking around and saying, hey, what's next? What do we have to worry about next? And yeah, I mean,
That's concerning.
The way he's painted himself now is that he doesn't admonish these leaders, and I'm thinking of Putin or Kim Jong-un. He now, what he does is he acts as the guy who says, I tell them not to do it. They're not going to do it. If I'm there, they won't do it because I tell them they won't do it. Because, you know, dictators really listen to outside advisors on this.
All the time.
When they want to control their people or take over other countries, suppressing freedoms, you know. Donald Trump's here for us.
Spot on, Greg. Look, words are interesting, but actions are what matter.
Yeah.
Right? And when we look at the actions, I mean, President Biden and Vice President Harris have brought together more than 50 countries to help support Ukraine's military. That's an astonishing number. And I'm sure y'all know this, but actually most of the assistance that the United States gives to Ukraine's military actually gets spent in the United States, including, most importantly, of course, in the great state of Wisconsin.
But you're right. I mean, a lot of the weapons that we're providing with them are being manufactured in the U.S., correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's more than 60% or so of the assistance that Ukraine's military has gotten has gone to the U.S. economy, U.S. industry. So it's actually creating jobs. It's an effort to not just invest in what's happening in the free world, but also to invest in America, to invest in America's economy.
Well, and other things that I've seen, Mara, say that what has happened to Russia's armies and Russia's defense forces, that's an investment that is paying off. I mean, without U.S. soldiers on the ground in Ukraine, what the Ukrainians have managed to do to the Russian army has been devastating, absolutely devastating.
I mean, just mind-boggling, Jane, right? The Russians were losing huge numbers, particularly in the first few months of the war, so many more than, say, the U.S. military lost in 20 years of fighting in wars. That's what they lost a month. So absolutely has had a massive impact on them. I would also note it's really reinvigorated a bunch of U.S. allies who've said, actually, we need to invest even more in ourselves. So way back when President Trump was president in 2020, you had about 9 members of NATO spending 2% or more of their GDP on defense. Today, we've got 23. That's a pretty impressive increase.
And that's something that Donald Trump loves to whine about, that they're not paying their fair share. Like there's a bank of NATO, which does not exist. And it's about using their own economy to help fund their own defenses. So obviously not every country is able to do that, but it's not like they're paying nothing. And as you just pointed out, now more of them are saying, you know what, we're going to put more effort into doing this.
Absolutely. I think it's because, frankly, they've had a reliable and steadfast partner in the United States over these last few years. I mean, I have traveled with President Biden to NATO summits and to watch all of these, I mean, tens and tens of countries who are looking to the United States to lead. Effectively, we can have a situation where we have more folks on our team, or we can go it alone, as former President Trump suggests. Usually doing things on your own doesn't work out so hot.
Just out of curiosity, when you have traveled with a President Biden, does he push people out of the way so he can be in the front for pictures?
as a standard question we ask. We ask all of our guests this, by the way.
You ask all of that. Generally, when I have seen the president or the secretaries of defense that I work for, they're pretty thoughtful and respectful
and polite
towards our allies and partners. Yes, absolutely. You're just a lot more successful, right? when you try to work with folks in that regard. You also have to be firm with them, to be sure, right? Firm with your partners, and above all, very firm and serious with your adversaries, right? When you're sitting down with the Russians or with the Chinese, I mean, making it very clear what the United States believes is okay and what we believe is not okay.
Something, Dr. Carlin, you said at the beginning of this interview is that you've worked for how many presidents?
I've worked for 3 presidents and 6 secretaries of defense.
And I think that's important to talk about because that right there is speaking to your expertise that was kept on in the government for so many years. And that is something that if Project 2025 has its way, will not be the case anymore. It will not rely upon people like you have expertise and thought and advice to give to those leaders. It's going to be about who sucks up, the sycophants, the yes men, and the acolytes to those who only see Donald Trump as the leader. And people like yourself will be seen out of the building because they don't want that. They don't want any sort of differing opinion. They want their opinion.
You know, Greg, you're bringing up a really important point. We are in a tough, complex, dangerous time in the world, right? And so making sure that we have the most capable and competent government is really important. Frankly, making sure that we have leaders with experience who are going to be professional, who are going to be serious, and who are going to be prepared and level-headed. I mean, there have been times over the last few years where we've had to be very nervous about things like nuclear weapons, for instance, right? Or wars that are already problematic getting even bigger. And if you don't have kind of serious and thoughtful folks, gosh, I really shudder to think about how some of those situations might have played out.
Well, we've talked quite a bit about Project 2025 and Schedule F and replacing all of these civil servants with essentially sycophants. And I always equate it to, think of your least qualified, least accomplished cousin getting a job in the Defense Department because they love Trump and they're MAGA, and that's the only qualification they need. That should terrify everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It really should, Jane. I mean, this is the U.S. military, right? This is an institution that we respect, a military that is dealing with all sorts of challenges around the world, kind of the nonpartisan organization that is making sacrifices. Don't we owe it to those folks to be serious, to be prepared?
Absolutely.
And as we've talked to, again, members of the National Security Leaders for America, Republicans, Democrats, all across the board, it's not just one side. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Mara Carlin. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on this. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call, text, leave a message on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin, very excited to have our next guest with us. Dr. Mara Carlin has a very nice resume. She is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy, Plans, and Capabilities with the Department of Defense, worked for 3 different presidential administrations, and is here for National Security Action, talking about the ramifications of either a Harris presidency or another Trump administration term. And so obviously Ukraine and Russia is still a major conflict that's going on, Dr. Carlin. We have Israel and Hezbollah and Israel and in Gaza and that whole mess. So what is our next president going to have to face once they step into the Oval Office?
You know, it's exactly the right question, Jane. I mean, we are probably in the most complex and dangerous period of time right now, frankly, since the Cold War ended. We see the biggest land war in Europe since the end of World War II. We see China acting in all sorts of irresponsible ways in the Indo-Pacific. We see a conflict across the Middle East that doesn't appear to be ending anytime soon. And so I think it's pretty clear that the next president has got to be ready on day one. They're going to be juggling all of these things, any of which could frankly escalate in a number of different ways. And so we've got to think a little bit about whether we want, frankly, our next president to be someone who wants America to go at it alone, is pretty comfortable appeasing dictators, letting them do what they want, or someone more like the vice president, frankly, who's got a ton of experience, who's met with more than 150 world leaders and has been deep in helping deal with and de-escalate a number of these big challenges.
I mean, Donald Trump has said out loud that Vladimir Putin can do whatever the hell he wants if these countries, again, don't pay up. Like he thinks he's directly getting a check from these countries, or that he thinks he should be getting a check directly from these countries when he tells them to pay up for NATO.
He might bill them when he's done.
Yeah, he probably would. It is just, as you said, it's very dangerous. It's very unsettling. And the countries that you mentioned who have stepped up their own in defense of their own defense, they have to be terrified about Vladimir Putin. And we had Ron Johnson, our own U.S. senator here in Wisconsin, saying Putin can't lose. So why are we supporting the Ukrainians? Putin can't lose. Can he lose?
Jane, I hate to say it, but it just cut out a little bit. So I didn't quite get what you were saying.
Not a problem.
But I did hear Putin. So
right.
Based on that.
Can Putin lose the war in Ukraine? Because our U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, our senior senator here in Wisconsin, has said Putin can't lose this war. So why should we support Ukraine? Are we still having sound issues?
Dr. Carlin, if it's cutting out, you can call us. You can call the studio at 855. I'll scroll it on the screen here. 855-752-4842. And we can continue the call.
That happens sometimes.
Yes, yep.
There are technical glitches and technical issues. And if we can't rejoin with Dr. Carlin, we'll make sure and get her back on in the next couple of weeks. We did have some questions coming in from folks that were curious about. Here's one, a follow-up question on how can people like Elon continue to get contracts with the government when his behavior is completely unacceptable and unstable. I don't know if Dr. Carlin would be able to address that, but we are going to try and get her back on in the couple of minutes that we have left. If she can just call into the show at 855-752-4842. Meanwhile, if you're listening and you have not entered our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win statewide contest, do that right now on the Civic Media app. Text in the word jewelry. J-E-W-E-L-R-Y. Jewelry is the word you want to text in by noon today. And then Todd Alba will have your next word in the 1 o'clock hour and Dominic Salvia at 4 p.m. I don't know that we're going to be able to reconnect with Dr. Carlin.
She's calling right now.
Mm-hmm. We'll only have a couple of minutes left with her. But again, the group is called National Security Action. And Dr. Carlin is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy, Plans, and Capabilities with the Department of Defense, worked for three different presidents and their administrations, and she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, absolutely, and we need that kind of expertise in those positions of power.
Absolutely. I believe Dr. Carlin is on the phone as we speak. Sorry about that, Dr. Carlin. I'm glad you were able to join us. We were just asking about Vladimir Putin. Our senior senator in Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, has said Putin can't lose the war against Ukraine, so why should we arm Ukraine? They're going to lose anyway.
Well, you know, Senator Johnson had been saying that about 2.5 years ago. I think some folks would have listened. But in the last 2.5 years, we've actually seen Ukraine's military fight it doggedly. We've seen more than 50 countries come together to support Ukraine. We've seen Russia's military face tremendous losses and consistently push back on Putin's war and frankly take it more to Putin's homeland as well. So I'm not really sure where Senator Johnson is seeing this from. It's actually a very significant fight, and the Ukrainian military is really impressive in what they're doing.
I mean, to be fair, and I don't mean to make light of it, we also, as Wisconsinites, don't understand where he gets most of his information when he says anything about anything.
There's that.
The newest thing now is that the Great Depression was an inside job. It really kind of goes, but there's something to be said about the fact that these men in power are saying things and people just go, well, yeah, of course it is. That's why we need people like you, Dr. Carlin, to give us the real expertise and information.
Well, we are just about out of...
Look, I really appreciate that.
We are just about out of time. Dr. Carlin, again, sorry about our connection issues. It's been a very, very interesting conversation. We would love to have you back on if you were interested and available.
I would be delighted. Thanks so much, you all, for having me. It was a real treat to hear some Wisconsin accent.
Thank you, Dr. Carlin. Dr. Marla Carlin has been our guest. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Green prairie winds blow from Rockford to Cairo. Over the cornfields that gleam in the sun. And off in the east glow the lights of Chicago. When daylight is ended and night has begun in Illinois.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text. It's the same number. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin.
Oh, where is he?
Look, I forgot. How quickly that came out.
Oh, I forgot.
It spilled out after your vote last week. Yes, coming up at 11:50, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. And if you ever have a thing, send it in to Jane Says. If you ever have something that shouldn't be a thing, send it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, JaneSays@civicmedia.us. And we will make sure that we include that in the show. I stumbled on this article this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Kelly Meyerhofer. And I just think it's funny. I do. I think it's hilarious. The headline reads, "What's Wisconsin's beef with Illinois? For some, it's the many tourists."
Yeah.
What is our issue with Illinoisians?
Is it Illinoisians?
I'm fairly certain it's Illinoisians.
That's
amazing. What would you call
them? I have no idea. Illinoites?
Illinoites? I like that better, but I don't think that's accurate.
Illinoisians?
Is it Illini or is that just the college?
I think it's just the college.
I think that's just the college.
Yeah. But if there was only a website on the internet that could tell us what the answer is.
I'm pretty sure it's Illinoisians.
I think you're right.
If I'm incorrect, 855-752-4842. And we'd also like to know, what is it that annoys you about people from Illinois? Again, story in today's Journal Sentinel from Kelly Meyerhofer. And she talked to people in Lake Geneva specifically because it's right over the border, obviously. And they get all kinds of tourists from Illinois because it's so close. And it's beautiful. Lake Geneva is a beautiful place. Many in Lake Geneva would rather gripe about it. They say Illinois tourists don't know how to drive. They don't know how to park. They don't know how to back their boat into the lake. They take over the town. They're condescending, patronizing, always in a hurry, and lack common courtesy. The mayor of Lake Geneva, which is hilarious, Lake Geneva Mayor Todd Krause, says he admits he sometimes turns to tourists for comic relief. "I'm going to go sit on my porch later today and watch people try and parallel park for a good 2 hours. It's absolutely hysterical."
Now, know that when we're talking about this, folks, our tongue planted firmly in cheek.
Absolutely.
On this. This is not meant to start a state war.
No, no, no.
But I personally do. I don't live in Lake Geneva. I don't go there a lot. But I have my only big gripe is my experience when it comes to like the driving.
Is it the speeding?
It's the speeding. And that's the thing is, this is how I know it's I'm in the right here. My friends from Chicago, specifically Chicago, but Illinois on the whole, will be like, you guys just drive so slow. And I'm like, what? The speed limit? They're not happy. We and for them, it's 10 miles over the speed limit.
Yeah, which is slow.
It's slow to them.
So they're the ones when I'm going 70, they're going 90.
Correct. And, you know, some people in Wisconsin drive fast too. It's not a state-based thing, but yeah. And then also, if you're a Brewers fan, the Cubs experience is not a good one.
Yeah, I've heard that.
They're like, ah, we're Chicago Cubs fans. We love Chicago. I'm like, yeah, where are you from? I'm from Schaumburg.
Kelvin.
I don't want to I wouldn't go as far to classify Illinois drivers as fast, or I just call them not, I don't know if it's, they're not used to our roads, but they very clearly don't know where they're going a lot of times, and it leads to them making peculiar choices.
Calvin, I'm gonna let you in a little secret. The roads that are in Wisconsin, as someone who's in Kenosha, are the same roads that are in Illinois. They're the same roads, made of the same material, using the same yellow paints, using the same, you know, like, it's the same. They're more daring. And I mean that, like, they make choices as far as driving that are like, why aren't there 10 cops here right now?
And you never see cops on the freeways in Illinois.
No,
I don't think I have ever seen, and we drive to O'Hare. I don't think I've ever seen a cop.
Because they drive 20 miles an hour faster than the people driving fast already.
Couple of texts coming in from WLAK in Amory, Illinoisers.
Yeah.
Steve from Milwaukee, Illinoisians, because they annoy everyone. From Green Bay on WGBW, Illinesia is the loss of the ability to drive. Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, folks. Great show. I lived on Green Lake for many years, and I was surrounded by white Illinois plates. And I also, my office was in the Loop in Chicago, so I experienced driving in Chicago firsthand, as well as endured them in Recreationalville. And the thing that you have to understand with Illinois drivers, there are two speeds, matted for acceleration and matted for smash the brakes. That's it, two speeds. Fast or stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Consequently, they're not used to that kind of driving when they go across into the rural, you know, Green Lake really isn't rural wilderness, but nonetheless, they struggle with that because they're so accustomed to driving with, you know, 8-9 million people trying to get to the same place they're at. If you break them down individually, one-on-one or a couple people, they're great. But if you get them in mass, it's the mob mentality, and they can be boors, even worse than me. Oh my God!
Thank you, Rob. Really appreciate you checking in, and always thank you for listening. Tony on the live stream says, my local quick trip guy told me I can't wait until these terrorists leave. Then he specifically said, not tourists, terrorists. It was hilarious.
I mean, it's. Look, I know that nobody's perfect, and I know that everyone in Illinois drives poorly, but the thing is that that's who we see. And when I'm driving home at night from the club after two shows and it's 12:30 a.m., first of all, I'm almost always driving the speed limit, if not 5, maybe 10 miles over. But when I can feel a car coming up on my left going real fast, I hear that zooming, and they just plow past me, more times than not, it's an Illinois plate.
And it wouldn't, I guess that wouldn't, because I drove down to the border on Saturday over the weekend to meet a friend for lunch. And it's the passing on the right that freaks me out.
Yeah.
When they're going 90 in the far right lane.
Yeah, or they're swerving.
Yes, yeah, swerving in and out.
Regardless of what state you live in, it's the swerving that I really don't like either. And but I think we should maybe bring it back to the base of the story, which is it has to do with how they treat Wisconsin when they're here vacationing, and that there's a lack of self-awareness there, and you're in someone else. I mean, yes, it's your vacation, but you're also your company, and you should treat the people that you're around with respect. And if people in that area are noticing it, you can't say it's not true.
This is about we're referring to an article from Kelly Meyerhofer in today's Journal Sentinel. What's Wisconsin's beef with Illinois? For some, it's the many tourists. And she talks to people in Lake Geneva, which, of course, is right over the border, and also in Door County, because there are a lot of people from Illinois who have property and bought property mm-hmm. in Illinois. So they certainly do add to the tax base.
They do.
You know, and they bring in a lot of money for tourism over the summer months and probably even into the winter months, because we all know there's nothing to do in Illinois.
Well, I mean, once you're in Chicago, it's great. Once you have anything else, it's just like you got yourself a chain restaurant or corn.
Or corn.
Have you ever driven to St. Louis from Wisconsin? I feel like I committed a crime, and that is my punishment.
Calvin.
I was like 10 or 12 years old, but my family had a camping trailer for a few years. And for whatever reason, our group that we went camping with did Thanksgiving in St. Louis. So we were camping in St. Louis. It was like a casino parking lot type
nice.
Deal. It was a really odd
That's
thing.
Not camping. That's just...
It was a weird setup. But we saw the arch and the zoo. They have a really cool zoo in St. Louis.
But driving through Illinois must have been really scintillating.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, just thrilling.
It's
cornfields. It's just lots and lots and lots of cornfields.
It's so flat. It's so boring. And
except for the Peru areas is a little bluffy. It's a little bluffy.
It's got some bluff to it.
It does. Troy from Mount Horeb, thank you for your patience, Troy. And thanks for checking in with us. What did you want to say?
So we went to the Brewer game this Memorial Day weekend against the Cubs. And they were showing people in Cubs gear, this person on the scoreboard, this person puts ketchup on their hot dog type of thing. And one of the things was, to Greg's point, this person says they're from Chicago when they're really from St. Charles.
Yep. So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they love to be from Chicago until you say, well, where in Chicago do you live? Oh, I don't live in Chicago. It's terrible there. Well, where do you live? Oh, I live in Evanston. I live in... You know,
well,
Deer Creek.
Be proud of Evanston.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Troy, my heart goes out to you. I've decided unless there's something really going on that I want to do, I don't go to Cubs Brewers games anymore in Milwaukee. I just can't handle it.
It's that bad.
For me personally. And I don't like it. There's an obnoxiousness to it that I don't enjoy. I personally wish all fans of the other team would stay home at all times and it was only Brewers fans.
Wouldn't that be nice?
But you know, I mean, it is what it is, and I can't change anything. But yeah, Troy, you're not wrong. And this whole thing of like, no one puts ketchup on a hot dog. A lot of people do. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you, Troy. Thank you for checking in with us. You can always join us as well at 855-752-4842. What is our problem with Illinoisans or Illinoisans, as I'm seeing on the text line? Brett from Kewaunee listening in Green Bay on WGBW. They go 80 miles an hour to Door County, and then they slow down to 40 and look at the same kind of farms they flew by all the way up.
That's the other thing, too, is they'll do, if the freeway's 70, and you're doing 70, or even, let's say you're doing 80, and that's pretty fast.
That is
a pullovable offense. They're on your tail, like you're not already breaking the law. You don't like it? Go around me. Roofers. Calvin... confirm this, but I also looked it up. People from Illinois are called Illinoisians, Illinoisians, or Illinoisans, like they Illinois nothing. But point is, I'm just kidding. My friends from Illinois, I love you very, very much. Please hire me at your comedy venues.
Chris in Madison, listening here on WAUK. There's a reason the FIB acronym doesn't stand for Friendly Illinois Buddy.
What did the mayor call it? Because he had to keep it very.
He had to keep it clean. Let me find it. Yes, the mayor of Lake Geneva said he calls them farting Illinois buggers.
That's such a Wisconsin thing to say.
It really is. I can hear Tony.
Oh my gosh!
I can hear Tony Evers saying that.
Oh my gosh! Those Illinois people. I can't stand them right now.
Angie from Monroe on the line. Good morning, Angie. We only got about a minute and a half left.
It's okay. I just got a funny. I know where not to see any Illinois drivers at Sunnyside, right across the right in Illinois at Sunnyside and Beloit.
I've never been there. Is Sunnyside not a good place to be?
All you see is, no, it's just, it's like right over the border, and all you see is Wisconsin plates at the dispensary.
Oh, the dispensary. That's, yes.
That's all you see is Wisconsin plates there.
Yeah. Tom from LA actually texted that in. Wisconsin gives more to Illinois in weed sales. We certainly do help support their weed industry. There is no doubt about that. Thank you so much, Angie. Thank you so much for listening. All right. When we return, you still have a couple more minutes. Text the word via the Civic Media app. Jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-R-Y. Jewelry is the word to text in our statewide text to win going for the green or gold contest. When we return, we'll be back with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. So keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bright August mornings and the warm summer rainfall on brisk autumn days with a harvester's shack in
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, RYP Calvin, resident young person Calvin.
I heard RIP. I'm like, what?
RYP Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text. It's the same number. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You still have a couple of minutes to text the word via the Civic Media app. Jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-R-Y, jewelry. Is the word to text until noon. It is our Go for the Green and Gold statewide text to win contest. Someone this hour will pick up either $100 in cash or gold jewelry, and then everyone in the running for the grand prize, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Your next chance to play in the 1 o'clock hour with Todd. So text the word right now, jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-R-Y, and get in the running for those prizes. It is 11:52, and that means, Calvin, it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Definitely, this shouldn't be a thing.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
You're the one who found this.
I found this, yeah, but I feel like it's going to raise your hackles more than mine.
Forbes magazine, of all things.
I
just find it interesting that they're writing about... Here's the headline. Gen Z have canceled the thumbs up emoji, and here's why you should worry.
Thanks, Calvin.
Well, look what you did, Calvin.
God.
What's with the thumbs up emoji?
I think that this article is just a boomer being a boomer. I don't think Gen Z did anything to the thumbs up emoji. I think we still use it.
So what you're saying is that you're thumbs downing this idea.
Yes.
Okay.
John Brandon is a senior contributor to Forbes magazine. He covers social media trends. I'm sorry, Calvin, but he says it's your fault. Gen Z have canceled the thumbs up emoji, and here's why you should worry. Now, this is the line that got me. A few years ago, Writers like me started using the word cachet more and more in articles online and in print. Although now it's lost its flavor, it means prestige. Thanks for pointing that out for me, John. I really appreciate that.
You know what I love is that this didn't turn you on Gen Zers. This turned you on Forbes magazine.
I find this annoying.
Oh, yeah.
He says, I started using emojis in business communication, mostly with colleagues, as a way to relay emotion. Well, you've grasped that aspect of emojis then, John. Well done.
Yeah.
I'm extremely late to the emoji party, but I'm here. Smiley face. Over the last few months, I've learned to throttle how often I use emojis. It's an entire language you have to learn. I'll add a smiley face to every joke with colleagues. I've known to use a variety of emojis to show agreement. All good so far, but now the thumbs up, which is very common on Facebook, and I use it all the time.
I never use it.
I use it all the time.
I rarely use that one.
Several emojis are out of favor with the Gen Z crowd, including the thumbs up emoji. Some see it as too abrupt and rude. And the heart emoji, again, according to Forbes magazine, is verboten.
You know, I know what verboten means, Jane, and Calvin knows what verboten means. Would you tell all of our audience members who don't know what that word means?
That would be forbidden.
Gotcha.
That would be no.
Oh, is that German? Like verboten.
Verboten, yeah.
This sounds like one guy who had one conversation. This is one guy who had a conversation with an intern and decided to make his life's work to like call out a generation. Which, by the way, I looked up this guy. He's Generation X by a country mile. He's not an old guy either. So this is, I cannot stand when Generation X takes on these fights.
Well, and then see, this makes me feel hipper than him.
Yeah. Calvin?
I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that as a win for me.
Yeah, I mean, sure, he's Gen X, you claim, but he just like sounds like a boomer.
Yeah, oh no, I don't disagree with you.
He's just like one of us, like, now I'm trying to find it. He's like, talks about like, oh, it's hard to keep up with the emoji lexicon. It's an ever evolving. It's like, bro, you're thinking way too much about this.
Seriously.
No, that's the thing, Calvin, that completely... Go get him, firefighters. That's the thing that totally steams my grits on this is I don't like intergenerational squabbling. It gets us nowhere. It provides stupid talking points and stories like this. But also, when people who are about my age start sounding like my mother, who doesn't sound like this, she's 80. I'm like, dude, we're the silent generation. We're not supposed to care about this. Is supposed to be beneath us. Don't thumbs up all you want, bro. But also, like, the way you describe it is like, I'm new to the game. Oh, just stop right there, buddy. This should have been a tweet. This whole thing should have been a tweet.
John Brandon, senior contributor for Forbes. I'm sorry, but this article should not have been a thing.
I love about this, Jane, is that we could easily, me and you could just dunked on Calvin for the past 8 minutes, but we didn't. We came together as a group, the three of us, to dunk on this dude who has no idea we exist.
They were dunking on him. Yeah. Sorry, Mr. John.
We're dunking on Forbes.
But yes, essentially we're dunking on Forbes. All right, that concludes today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And if you have a thing that should not be a thing, send it in to Jane Says at civicmedia.us and text in the word on the app Jewelry before 12 noon today. Next chance with Todd Alba in the 1 o'clock hour. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is coming up next. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.